eat our daily bread.
And then we want to do this.
For I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, not life more, drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body, more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all these splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe than you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Well, let's have a recap. That's a good idea, because we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we've looked at various aspects of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, we've looked at the person. In other words, we looked at the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. And next we looked at the priorities, because after that are kind of three priorities that God kind of gives us for his name to be hallowed, his kingdom to come, and his will to be done. And then come the petitions. And we looked at these in a family service, three petitions: for daily bread, for forgiveness, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and then for lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then finally, we looked at what I call the praise at the end, which is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. And that's only a footnote in the NIV, but we found it in the Old Testament anyway. So even if it's only a footnote in our version, we found it there in David's prayer of praise. Now, taking the petitions, as I said, we looked at in a family service, we're going to look at those in a bit more detail in the coming weeks. And one of those three, and continuing the theme of P, you know, person, priorities, petitions and praise, the three petitions, first of all, are the petition for provision when we ask for daily bread. Secondly, for pardon as we ask forgiveness. And thirdly, for protection as we say, deliver us not, lead us not into temptation, or deliver us from evil. So we're going to look at the next few weeks or so, interrupted by Back to Church Sunday and Harvest. So we'll do two, and then the last one after those two. We're looking at these three. And it's interesting, Abby, you look at them in general, I notice there's more than a hint of the Trinity here. Because provision is from the Father, and pardon is through the Son, and protection is with the Holy Spirit. So we're asking the whole of the Godhead in these petitions to answer our prayers. And as Jesus has told us to pray these things, the whole of the Godhead must want to answer our prayers. The whole of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, must want to be involved in our everyday lives. And with that, what I think is quite an incredible thought, we're going to look at these petitions and beginning this week in Give Us Today Our Daily Bread. Matthew 6 verse 11. And when I think of that petition, I'm reminded of another verse, Philippians 4:19, which was part of the song that we sung earlier, Jehovah Jireh. And that verse is, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And that takes me back to my childhood, to my nan and granddad, because in the flat that they lived in the main room, there was the fireplace. Now, on the mantelpiece was a clock, one of those old wind-up clocks with Westminster chimes, you know, sounded like Big Ben. And above, he had that presented to him for his work in St John Ambulance. I remember the little sort of plaque on the front. Above that was a picture of my dad looking very dapper. And below, between the clock and the picture of my dad, was in cross stitch this text. Although it was in Authorised Version, so it said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But it's virtually the same thing. That was a good scripture to have above the mantelpiece. A good scripture to have to look at every day. A good scripture to have in the back of one's mind. Why? Because it's a Bible promise. It's a Bible promise that God will provide our needs, including, of course, our daily bread. And so this morning, we're going to look at those kind of individual words. We're going to look at give us today our daily bread. We're going to look at give, because that tells us about what God supplies. We're going to look at us, because that tells us about whom God supplies. We're going to look at the word today, because that tells us about when he supplies, and bread, because that tells us about what he supplies. Now, we're not actually going to do, that's the order in which the words appear. We're not going to do them in that order, because we're going to start off with bread. What God supplies, because I think it's good to see, you know, start at the beginning in terms of, well, what we actually are going to receive. Now, when we looked at this, we looked at these petitions in the family service. You may remember we had a quiz. Remember we had a quiz involving different types of bread. I had pictures of bread on the screen, and I was asking what was the bread called and what country did it come from. And one of them was Fougas from France. And I don't think anybody got that one. We were in France this summer, and I was ever so excited because we were in a market and I saw a Fougas bread for sale. I think Jenny thought I was a bit nuts because I was getting ever so excited. Look. It really was right. I did get the quiz right. So Fougas really is available in France. But different countries have different breads. That's the point that I was making. Whether it's fougas or panini or ciabatta or chapati, I just whispered to Jenny that the oil and the flour that we had out there was about enough to make one chapati, because that's the ingredients you use. Or whatever it is, or even cottage loaf, bread is a staple diet across the world. We're not called to pray for cake, but for bread. We're not called to pray for our wants, but our needs. Matthew Henry, who wrote a commentary on the whole Bible a few centuries ago now, I can't exactly remember when, he comments this about this. He says, we don't pray for, quote, dainties or superfluities. I love that phrase. It just gets me, probably not you, but we don't pray for dainties or superfluities. In fact, Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. But did Jesus mean literally bread, or more generally our needs? Well, from the passage further on, it looks as if he's talking about our needs in general. The passage that Amber read to us, Matthew 6, from verse 25. Verse 31 in the New Living Translation says this. Jesus says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then Jesus goes on, actually, to kind of a bit of a proviso to supplying our needs, because he says this. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, as we sung in that song, and live righteously, And he will give you, God will give you, everything you need. There's a kind of proviso there. We've got to be seeking God's kingdom. We've got to be living righteously. And God will provide all that we need. And of course, that proviso is here in the Lord's Prayer. We pray for God's priorities. His name to be hallowed, his kingdom to come, his will to be done. Before we pray for our petitions, including daily bread. So, if our hearts and our prayers are set on those priorities, if we are seeking God's kingdom first, if we are trying to live righteously, the promise is that he will supply what we need. But then you may be thinking to yourself, well, hang on, what about that verse in Philippians? You know, my God will supply all your needs. What about that? Well, actually, that is also in a context. The church at Philippi had sent Paul gifts so that he could survive whilst he was on his missionary journey. But they weren't just, as it were, kind of helping him out. They were actually seeking first God's kingdom, because those gifts enabled Paul to continue on his missionary journey and to continue preaching the gospel. If he hadn't received those gifts, he wouldn't have been able to continue. He wouldn't have been able to share the gospel with more people. So when Paul wrote to the Philippians, that verse that I read earlier is chapter 4, verse 19. But go back to verse 14. Paul says, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, you, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. That's what they were doing. But it wasn't just a gift. Because Paul says in a little bit later on in verse 18, I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Listen to this. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. They weren't just a gift of money given like that. They were actually part of their worship as the church, giving. It was a fragrant offering. And as a result of that, the next verse is the verse I've already quoted. Because their gift sent is a fragrant offering, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. As we seek to do God's will, as we seek to follow Jesus, the promise is he will supply our needs. Because by Jesus saying, give us today our daily bread, he's implying not just bread, literally, but food, drink, clothing, as he says later on. In fact, all our daily needs. John Calvin commented on this verse that we ask not only that the hand of God may supply us with food, but that we may receive all that is necessary for the present life. All that is necessary for the present life. God supplies our needs. So the second word is give. How God supplies. Well, God gives for one reason, so we don't have to steal. Proverbs 20:12 says, stolen bread tastes sweet, but it turns to gravel in the mouth. I like that. Stolen bread tastes sweet, but it turns to gravel in the mouth. Furthermore, we don't ask for God to sell or to lend, but out of his grace, his mercy and his love, God gives. But how does he give? Well, for those of us who have a job, one of the ways he gives is by giving us work so that we are able, out of our earnings, to put, as the saying goes, bread on the table. I'm grateful that we've never gone without the wherewithal to buy food. When God called me into the Baptist ministry, our children were quite small. I gave up my job to go to theological college for 4 years. But actually, at that point, then God enabled Jenny to work, and enabled her to work as a teacher in the school that the kids were at, so that it was actually practical to do that. In various ways, God supplied our needs. That first year, someone offered to pay our mortgage for the year. And then The first summer vacation, I was able to get a job, and each summer vacation I could get a job, and that kind of paid the mortgage for the following year. The silly thing was, we only needed one car until I went to college. I had to travel across from Kent, North Kent, to South London, and Jenny had to travel across the town to the school where she was teaching. And in those days, you didn't have half fares on the buses for children. It was full fare until 9:30, and it was ridiculously expensive to get across, as well as being impractical. We got two cars. Someone gave us another car, and that worked through different ways. God supplied what we needed. He gave us one way or another. God supplies by giving us. And the third thing is when. Well, today. The word today and daily remind us about when God supplies. In that church we were going to in North Kent, there was a family, and they had 12 kids. Now, some were their own, some were adopted, and some were fostered, so it was quite a mixture. And I remember asking Mum one day, well, how do you cope? Because she was all seemed very serene in spite of all the sort of, you know, everything that was going around, happening around them. And she said, I begin each day by giving it to God. He copes, he provides. She made it sound so easy. But actually, it is that easy if we'll allow God to do it. The secret is begin each day. God doesn't want season ticket prayers. God doesn't want us to pray, dear Lord, give us this month's bread because we've got a freezer. Then we needn't bother to pray for 4 weeks. There are some great lessons to be learnt from the manna in the desert episode. You remember that when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, from slavery, from terrible suffering, into freedom. But they came out and they were in the desert, and they were running low on food. And they soon started complaining to Moses, and actually they started idealising their time in Egypt, which actually, when you read, was actually terrible, and the suffering was awful. But this is what they said in Exodus chapter 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. So God did something. God promised. Next verse. The Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. You are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. On the sixth day, the day before the Sabbath, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So each day they were to gather their daily bread, their daily manna. The word manna just means, what is it? Because they went out and said, oh, what's that? This sort of stuff on the ground, which was edible. So it got to be called manna. Because some of them thought, well, you know, we won't eat it all today, and we'll keep it for tomorrow, just in case it doesn't turn up tomorrow, because you never know. And of course, the next day they found that it stank and had maggots in it. Because that's not what God said. God said, just gather enough for each day, except on the sixth day. They were able to collect twice as much, and so they didn't have to collect any on the day of rest. This is what happened in verse 17. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, which is a weight, he who gathered much didn't have too much, and he who gathered little didn't have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. God provided on a daily basis. And it's no good trying to hoard it up, because it went off. But God provided each day. The season ticket avoids you spending time queuing up at the kiosk and coming in contact with the man who sells you the tickets. But God wants us to spend time with him. He wants us to spend time talking to him in prayer. He wants a daily relationship with us, bringing our needs to him so that he can provide. Because the end of the passage in Matthew's Gospel that Amber read to us, that last verse when Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, each day's got enough trouble of its own. God will provide. Give us today our daily bread. So lastly, us, who God supplies. Well, you may think it's obvious, it's us, it's our daily bread. Okay, but I just want to make one point. It's not me and my, but it's us and our. There's a responsibility upon us to share what God gives us. The saying goes, God provides, man divides. So that although there's enough food to go around for everyone in the world at this present time, many are going short, whilst we have overflowing supermarkets. When Paul was encouraging the Christians in Corinth to give, he held up the Macedonian churches, of which Philippi was one of them, as examples. And in 2 Corinthians, he says this, 2 Corinthians 8. Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. But Paul makes the point that it's not that they gave so that they then were even more impoverished and the other lot got rich. No, that wasn't what it was all about at all. Verse 13, he says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. God supplies us and gives us the responsibility to share so that there is equality. And then he quotes the verse from Exodus about manna. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. God wants equality. Harvest is coming up. That's 3 weeks' time. And in thanksgiving for God providing our daily bread on an ongoing basis, we bring our thanks. And we're also invited to bring an offering. We can either bring non-perishable food, tins and packets, and that's going to the Basildon Community Resource Centre so they can distribute that to local needy families. Or also the idea is that we're going to support TWAM. TWAM stands for Tools with a Mission. And it's a charity that collects tools, refurbishes them, and then sends them to the third world so that they can use them and have a job and earn some money. And we can either give some tools, second-hand tools that we've got and don't want. There's more information in there in our newsletter and on the notice board outside as to what is acceptable. Or there'll be opportunities for us to give money for TWAM as well. God supplies us and gives us the responsibility to share. So in conclusion, just one more thing to say. We train our children to say thank you, don't we? In fact, there was something happened just recently with our grandchildren. One of them came up and asked me for something and I gave it to them. And of course, Mum was there and Mum says, what do you say? Because she didn't. And so this little boy said, thank you, Granddad. And that nice. But we teach our children to say thank you. And yet, so often we forget to say thank you to our Heavenly Father. We take for granted that he supplies everything. In fact, we forget that he supplies everything. We need to remember to say thank you. We've just sung, and we will sing again at harvest. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. All good gifts. So thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for all his love. We read that the early church met together with glad and sincere hearts in Acts 2. And Paul says that food was created by God to be received with thanksgiving, and he wrote to Timothy. So as we follow after Christ, as we seek first his kingdom, he promises to supply our needs. It's our needs on a daily basis and with the responsibility to share and the responsibility to give thanks. Let's pray together.